You may turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, the 20th chapter. I shall begin reading with verse 17 and read through verse 38. And my subject is Paul's farewell to the church at Ephesus. Acts, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 17, reading through verse 38. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which ye have purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. Keep your Bibles open, and we shall begin at verse 27 and see what is involved in this message to the Ephesian elders. After Paul had come from Miletus, he came to Ephesus and called the church together, and particularly the elders, or the plurality of ministers in that church. And in verse 27, he says to them, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And I believe that Paul had taught them everything from God's sovereignty and divine election to the simple facts of soul winning, everything concerning the ordinances and the offices and every cardinal doctrine in the Word of God. I believe that Paul had taught the Ephesians while he preached to them. This morning, one of the greatest things that could happen to this church or any New Testament church in the world would be for the whole counsel of God to be declared and not just some pet theme or subject that somebody gets hung up on. We need to know all the doctrines that are involved in God's Word. And so with that reminder, he then gives them an admonition. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." You're the leaders, you're the preachers. And number one, you take heed unto yourselves. And then you take heed unto all the flock of God, meaning from the newest convert to the oldest person in the church at Ephesus. Then he says that you feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. In this admonition, the elders are to take heed to themselves. They're to take heed to all the flock of God. They are to remind themselves that it was the Holy Spirit who made them overseers at the church at Ephesus. And any church this morning that has a preacher that has not been placed there by the Spirit of God will not feel the presence and the power of God. Then he says to them to feed that church. And he's not talking about a carnal, fleshly feeding every night at the house of God. He's talking about feeding them the precious truths of the Word of God. Then notice verse 29. "For I know this." I don't think this, but I know this. "That after my departing," or after I leave Ephesus, "shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And here Paul refers to those who are outside the house of God, outside the fellowship at Ephesus. And he said, "I already know that when I leave the church at Ephesus, there are going to be some grievous wolves who will come in from the outside and who will not spare the flock of God." And I want to tell you by the authority of God's Word this morning, one of the most dishonoring things in all the world is for somebody to sow discord among those who've been saved by the grace of God, and especially among those who belong to the same church family. And Paul does not spare words. He says these people are grievous wolves, and they don't care anything about you. They don't care anything about this church. They are grievous wolves. He warns them of those on the outside. And then he says also, "Of your own selves," or within the membership of the church, "after I leave," says Paul, "I've kept these things under control and in control by strong leadership," says Paul, "but after I leave, among your own selves," I want you to get this now, "shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Now, if you miss everything else in this sermon this morning, you get this. Any member of the church, including the pastor that wants to draw disciples after himself or herself, instead of teaching them to be better disciples of the Lord, is not fit to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. One reason we do not have an offering in the couples class and in our adult classes, I'll tell you why. Because in the average church, every class begins to adopt a little project of its own. Pretty soon the church is ignored, and pretty soon there is a clique in this department and a clique in that department, and they have disciples following them instead of following the will of the church, and above all, instead of following the will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you once again this morning, I don't want you to love me if you don't love, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason I want you to love me as your under-shepherd is because you love Jesus. We began to supersede Christ's love for others. Then we're outside of the will of God, and perverse things are happening. And so Paul warns of those without and those within. Then he says, watch and remember, verse 31. And by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. And I believe when the old apostle stood to preach, that he wasn't just filling in 30 minutes or an hour. I believe that he stood in the fear of God, with the interest of the souls of men at heart. And I believe that he preached with a broken heart because he saw the value of men's souls and he saw the value of the church that had been purchased with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I reemphasize this morning, we need a core of preachers that have been called of God to preach the gospel, that will preach with broken hearts as they march through this gainsaying and crooked world in which we're living today. For the space of 3 years, I warned every one of them night and day with tears. And now notice he does not commend himself. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. He's not commending himself. And if you'll allow me to be plain this morning, one of the most sickening things in the ministry today is what I have done. And one of the most sickening things in the church today is what we have done. And I can tell you by the authority of God's Word, I have done nothing that is acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ unless He did it through me, because without Him, we can do nothing, says the Word of God. And I'll tell you something else, as a church, you haven't done anything either outside of the help of God, because unless God enables and empowers of people, their work will be fruitless and vain. And so whatever we have accomplished together as pastor and church, says Paul to the Ephesians, we've done it not because of who we are, but by the power of the living God of heaven. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. And I want to tell you something else. It's one of my pet peeves this morning. Is that every time some new religious book comes off of the press, a lot of people think they have to buy that new religious book in order to learn the will of God. The Bible says, of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. And what's needed in Baptist churches today is not a new publication of some book off the press, but is for God's people to get their heads in the old book, the Word of God. The greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. And if many religious zealots today would spend as much time in the Word of God as they do finding a new book or some new religious kick, I'll guarantee you they'd get some doctrine in their stomach, they'd get some sinew on their bones, and there'd be some strength in what they claim to believe from a religious standpoint. Amen. I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up
and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. I believe with all of my heart this morning that there is a growth in churches today that stinks in the eyes of the living God. And I have longed for the day, I don't guess I'll see it. I have longed for the day when every pew in this church building would be filled, and it could be this morning. It could be if all of you would work as hard as you should. It could be filled next Sunday morning. And that's not a rebuke, that's just a plain statement. If all of you worked as hard as you could, this coming week it could be filled next Sunday morning. But what I'm saying, the growth that I'm talking about building up the church today is a pseudo-evangelism and pressuring people to join the church and a religious service that's geared to the entertainment of the flesh instead of the reach of hearts of men. I'd rather preach to three people that love the Lord and the Word of God than to have to entertain a house full that don't know one thing about God's precious Word. Amen. So the thing that'll build us up and give us an inheritance among them which are sanctified is God and the word of His grace. He said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. And I almost feel like getting on my knees to say it this morning. But that's one thing this preacher can say. From the time God called me to preach the gospel, I've never asked a man for one single solitary cent. I've never asked a church for one thing for myself materially. Amen. I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. And Paul says, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Now here's the kind of preacher Paul was. Somebody tell me what his occupation was. What? Tent maker. When the apostle Paul would go into these heathen cities to preach the gospel, I want to drive this down, he wasn't sent out by a mission board. Amen. And I'll just tell you something else. I believe, scripturally speaking, mission boards stink in the eyes of God. That's not very popular. I believe the one to send out the missionaries is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe when missionaries are sent from the local church, with the authority, and when the church supports them, they get every dime that's coming to them instead of being funneled around through various different organizations and about 30-70% get to the field. I believe, and I repeat, that mission board stink in the eyes of the living God. We need to get back to New Testament evangelism. So when Paul went into a heathen city, he built tents. When he would build these tents, he would sell them. And he'd work physically to support himself and to support his helpers with him. And you know, I'm glad this morning that if God calls a man to preach the gospel, if he has to work with his hands, if he's truly called of God to preach the gospel, if he has to get a secular job, he'll still do it and preach the word of God. I've coveted no man's gold or silver and apparel. I've showed you all things, he says. How that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And since I gave you a mild rebuke during the offertory occasion this morning, I must give you a large commendation. Because if this church has learned anything it has learned that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And men like Dr. Batson and Dr. Calloway and Hal Brunson and Siegfried Johnson and Virgil Mays and others who have been in our midst have said all over the United States of America that Tabernacle Baptist Church is a liberal-hearted people that have learned to give. And let me tell you this morning, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know what I told the church three Sunday nights ago? That I've been praying of God to give us $100,000. Some of you didn't hear that. But I have. And I believe, as strong as I believe my name, that if this people stays humble, that in due time, God will answer that prayer and we'll get one gift of $100,000. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Now they didn't have a big blowout and party when Paul left Ephesus. He knelt down with the church. That's the way he built the church up. When they needed something, they'd get on their knees and pray for it. And so when he starts to leave the church, he calls them together in an altar of prayer and kneels with them and begins to pray with them. They wept and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. I can see that church as they left the assembly and walked to the seaside and saw Paul get on the deck of the ship. And I believe they stood there and sang Christian hymns and prayed and waved at him as long as they could, because most folks don't miss the water till the what? Then the well runs dry. Let's stand.
Number 100.